So this morning, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 16, a description of Jambudvip, text number 5. And this is in prose, so it's not easy to repeat. So I'll just chant it myself. And there's a lot of verses here that have no purport, because it's a difficult subject matter to speak about or to write about. So I'm going to do a lot of reading. So let's see if you can stay awake. This is going to be a challenge. Yo vayam dvipa guvalaya kamala kusabhyandhara koshani yutta yojana visala samavart tulo yata pushkara patram. Translation. The planetary system known as Bhumandala resembles a lotus flower, and its seven islands resemble a whorl of that flower. The length and breadth of the island known as Jambudvip, which is situated in the middle of the whorl, are 1 million yojanas, 8 million miles. Jambudvip is round like the leaf of a lotus flower. Text 6. In Jambudvip, there are 9 divisions of land, each with a length of 9,000 yojanas, 72,000 miles. There are 8 mountains that mark the boundaries of these divisions and separate them nicely. Purport. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives the following quotation from the Vayu Purana, wherein the locations of the various mountains beginning with the Himalayas are described. And now what he has here is about 10 lines of Sanskrit, which we're going to avoid reading right now. Here's the translation for 7. Amidst these divisions, or varshas, is the varsha named Ilavrata, which is situated in the middle of the whorl of the lotus. Within Ilavrata varsha is Sumeru Mountain, which is made of gold. Sumeru Mountain is like the pericarp of the lotus-like Bhumandala planetary system. The mountain's height is the same as the width of Jambudvip, or, in other words, 100,000 yojanas, 800,000 miles. Of that, 16,000 yojanas, 128,000 miles, are within the earth. And therefore the mountain's height above the earth is 84,000 yojanas, 672,000 miles. The mountain's width is 32,000 yojanas, 256,000 miles, and its summit and 16,000 yojanas at its base. Translation for text number 8. Just north of Ilavrata Varsha and going further northward, one after another, are 3 mountains named Nila, Sveta, and Sringavan. These mark the borders of the 3 varshas named Ramyaka, Hiranmaya, and Kuru, and separate them from one another. The width of these mountains is 2,000 yojanas, 16,000 miles. Lengthwise, they extend east and west to the beaches of the ocean of salt water. Going from south to north, the length of each mountain is 1/10 that of the previous mountain, but the height of them all is the same. So I'm going to quiz all of you on this. So, not easy to remember this, eh? The purport. In this regard, Madhvacharya quotes the following verses from the Brahmanda Purana. It appears that aside from the sun and moon, there are an invisible planet called Rahu. The movements of Rahu caused both solar and lunar eclipses. We suggest that the modern expeditions attempting to reach the moon are mistakenly going to Rahu. Text 9. Similarly, south of Elabhartavarsh and extending from east to west are three great mountains named from north to south, Nishadha, Hemakuta, and Himalaya. Each of them is 10,000 yojanas high. They mark the boundaries of the three varshas named Harivarsh, Kimpurushavarsh, and Bhardvarsh. What's Bhardvarsh? Anybody know what Bhardvarsh is? Actually, it was the whole world was called Bhardvarsh at one time. Text number 10. In the same way, west and east of Elabhartavarsh are two great mountains named Malayavan and Gunhamadana, respectively. These two mountains, which are 2,000 yojanas high, extend as far as Nila Mountain and in the north to Nishadha in the south. They indicate the borders of Elabhartavarsh and also verses known as Ketumala and Bhadrashva. Purport, there are also many mountains even on this planet, Earth. We do not think that the measurements of all of them have actually been calculated properly. While passing over the mountainous region from Mexico to Caracas, we actually saw so many mountains that we doubt whether their height, length, and breadth have been properly measured. Therefore, as indicated in Srimad Bhagavatam by Sukadeva Goswami, we should not try to comprehend the greater mountainous areas of the universe merely by our calculations. Sukadeva Goswami has already stated that such calculations would be very difficult even if one had a duration of life like that of Lord Brahma. We should simply be satisfied with the statements of the authorities like Sukadeva Goswami and appreciate how the entire cosmic manifestation has been made possible by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The measurements given herein, such as 10,000 yojanas or 100,000 yojanas, should be considered correct, because they have been given by Sukadeva Goswami. Our experimental knowledge can neither verify nor disprove the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. We should simply hear these statements from the authorities. If we can appreciate the extensive energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that will benefit us. Text 11. Of the four sides of the great mountain known as Sumeru are four mountains, Mandara, Meru Mandara, Suparshva, and Kumuda, which are like its belts. The length and height of these mountains are calculated to be 10,000 yojanas. Text 12. Standing like flagstaffs on the summits of these four mountains are a mango tree, a rose apple tree, a kadamba tree, and a banyan tree. These trees are calculated to have a width of 100 yojanas, or 800 miles. Big trees. And the height of 8,800 miles. Very big tree. 8,800 miles. Mango tree. Sounds good, doesn't it? Their branches also spread to a radius of 8,800 miles. Now, if we were to say this to the ordinary person on the street, they would look at us like You know, there's people from, you know, for, I mean, there's places for people like you, you know, institutions. You know. They wouldn't be able to grasp this. But this is another, whole other realm of existence that we're reading about here. Oh, Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Bharata dynasty, between these four mountains are four huge lakes. The water of the first tastes just like milk. The water of the second tastes like honey. And that of the third, like sugarcane juice. The fourth lake is filled with pure water. The celestial beings, such as the Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas, who are also known as demigods, enjoy the facilities of those four lakes. Imagine that, swimming in a lake of sugarcane juice. You don't have to get out of the lake to get something to drink, you know, just drink. You know? Consequently, they have the natural perfections of mystic yoga, such as the power to become smaller than the smallest or greater than the greatest. There are also four celestial gardens named as Nandana, Chaitarat, Vibhrajaka, and Sarvatobhadra. Text 15. The best of the demigods, along with their wives, who are like ornaments of heavenly beauty, meet together and enjoy within those gardens, while their glories are sung by lesser demigods known as Gandharvas. 16. On the lower slopes of Mandara Mountain is a mango tree named Devakuta. It is 8,800 miles high. Mangoes as big as mountain peaks and as sweet as nectar fall from the top of this tree for the enjoyment of the denizens of heaven. Mangoes as big as the peaks of mountains. Boy, it'd be nice to see one of those, huh? Get the juice from those mangoes. Purport, in the Vayu Purana, there is also a reference to this tree by the great learned sages. Text 17. When all those solid fruits fall from such a height, now remember, they're falling from 800, what is it, how is it? 800 miles high. Whew, that's high. They break, and the sweet, fragrant juice within them flows out and becomes increasingly more fragrant as it mixes with other scents. That juice cascades from the mountain in waterfalls, or you could call it mango falls, and becomes a river called Arunoduda, which flows pleasantly to the eastern side of Ilavrita. Mango falls. Cool. The Srimad Bhagavatam has all kinds of amazing information here. Text 18. The pious wives of the Yakshas act as personal maidservants to assist Bhavani, the wife of Lord Shiva. Because they drink the water of the river Arunoda, their bodies become fragrant, and as the air carries away that fragrance, it perfumes the entire atmosphere for 80 miles around. Text 19. Similarly, the fruits of the Jumbu tree, which are full of pulp and have very small seeds, fall from a great height and break to pieces. Those fruits are the size of elephants, and the juice gliding from them becomes a river named Jumbu Nadi. This river falls a distance of 10,000 yojanas from the summit of Meru Mandara to the southern side of Ilavrita and floods the entire land of Ilavrita with juice. Purport, we can only imagine how much juice there might be in a fruit that is the size of an elephant, but has a very tiny seed. Naturally, the juice from the broken jumbo fruits. Anybody ever heard of jumbo fruit? I wonder if we have a fruit that's similar. In America, we have there's juice bars, or it's a business called Jumbo Juice. I guess they got it from here. That juice produces an immense quantity of gold. Juice that produces gold. It's getting more and more far out here. Text 20 and 21. The mud on both banks of the river Jumbu Nadi being moistened by the flowing juice and then dried by the air and the sunshine produces huge quantities of gold called Jumbu Nada. The denizens of heaven use this gold for various kinds of ornaments. Therefore, all the inhabitants of the heavenly planets and their youthful wives are fully decorated with golden helmets, bangles, and belts, and thus they enjoy life. Now, finally, we get a purport, a good purport here. By the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the rivers on some planets produce gold on their banks. The poor inhabitants of the earth, because of their incomplete knowledge, are captivated by a so-called Bhagavan, who can produce a small quantity of gold. That's Sly Bubba. However, it is understood that in a higher planetary system in this material world, the mud on the banks of the Jumbu Nadi mixes with jumbo juice, reacts with the sunshine in the air, and automatically produces huge quantities of gold. Thus, the men and women are decorated there by various golden ornaments, and they look very nice. Unfortunately, on Earth, there is such a scarcity of gold that the governments of the world try to keep it in reserve and issue paper currency. Because that currency is not backed up by gold, the paper they distribute as money is worthless. But nevertheless, the people on earth are very proud of material advancement. In modern times, girls and ladies have ornaments made of plastic instead of gold, and plastic utensils are used instead of golden ones. Yet people are very proud of their material wealth. Therefore, the people of this age are described as Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Yupadrutaha, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.10. In other words, they are extremely bad and slow to understand the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They have been described as Sumanda Matayo because their conceptions are so crippled that they accept a bluffer who produces a little gold to be God. Because they have no gold in their possession, they are actually poverty-stricken, and therefore they are considered unfortunate. Sometimes these unfortunate people want to be promoted to the heavenly planets to achieve fortunate positions, as described in this verse. But pure devotees of the Lord are not at all interested in such opulence. Indeed, devotees sometimes compare the color of gold to that of bright golden stool. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed devotees not to be allured by golden ornaments and beautifully decorated women. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundaring. A devotee should not be allured by gold, beautiful women, or the prestige of having many followers. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore confidentially prayed, Mama janmani janmani ishvare bhavatad bhakti ahayataki tvai. My Lord, please bless me with your devotional service. I do not want anything else. A devotee may pray to be delivered from this material world. That is his only aspiration. Ainanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam visameva vam buddha kripayata vapada panchkacha. Sita duli sadvasam vachintaya. The humble devotee simply prays to the Lord, kindly pick me up from this material world, which is full of varieties of material opulence, and keep me under the shelter of your lotus feet. Srila Narottam Das Thakur prays, Haha Prabhu Nanda Suto Vrishabhanu Suto Yuta Karuna Karahe Ebhar Narottama Dasakoi Na Te Liha Rangapai Toma Vina He Ache Amar. O my Lord, O son of Nanda Maharaj, now you are standing before me with your consort, the daughter of Vrishabhanu Srimati Radharani. Kindly accept me as the dust of your lotus feet. See, the Prabhupada said one time that this is the this is the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. That we're praying, Krishna, please accept me again in your service, in your association, in the association of your devotees. He also said that we chant like a child crying out to the mother in a helpless way. Please do not kick me away, for I have no other shelter. Similarly, Prabodhananda Saraswati indicates that the mission or the position of the demigods who are decorated with golden helmets and other ornaments is no better than a phantasmagoria. Tri dasa pur akasha pushpayate. A devotee is never allured by such opulences. He simply aspires to become the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. Om Gyanata Manandasya Gyananjana Sulakaya Chakshram Mitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Mukram Kotavacha Lang Pungan Lang Haite Grim Yit Kripata Ram Bande Sri Gurum Jena Taranam Vancha kapa tu vyascha kripa sindhu deva cha patitanam pavanevya vaisnavevyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. In the purport, Prabhupada mentions that people all over the world, they're misled by people who claim to be God, who are cheating. And therefore, there's the Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, there's the cheaters and there's the cheated. Some people want to be cheated and some people want to cheat. So this is the unfortunate situation in the material world. But there's others who see a cheater and they understand, oh, this is a cheater. Just like there was one person, he was who claimed to be God, and he used to really get into it. He would have the rasa, lila, and he would have, he would squirt out all these colors, and he was a big rascal. And there was one person who understood, this guy is a rascal. So people were going up and they were making offerings to him. But this one person who understood, he was a big cheater. He had a pie. And he was acting like he's going to offer the pie to him, but he put it in his face. Appropriately done. So there's a lot of cheaters, unfortunately. But we're very fortunate that we came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, who didn't want to cheat anyone. He just wanted to give the pure message. And there was one time Prabhupada was in his room in Mayapur, and one man came to see him, and they were talking for a while. And during their conversation, this man said to Prabhupada that I'm God. Prabhupada is the wrong person to say that to. And he said, oh. So he told the devotees, bring me the dictionary. Let's look up the definition of God. So I looked it up. God, definition, the supreme being. And he told the devotees, what does supreme mean? Supreme means ultimate authority. So he looked at this little man sitting in front of him and asked him, so, are you the ultimate authority? And the man couldn't say anything. He just looked down and Prabhupada completely smashed him, completely revealed him to everyone. So there's yogis, Jaya Shri Panta Tattva. There's yogis and so-called teachers that teach you, you could chant this mantra and then in 6 months you become God. There's rascals that teach people that you are God. Yeah, such nonsense. This is Kali Yuga. And therefore Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Yupadutraha. That in this age of Kali, people are short-lived. Previously, people would live for thousands of years. Now, if someone lives 100 years, that's pretty rare. Very rare to live even 100 years. And Prabhupada said eventually, people will be living for 30 years, and they'll be considered an old man. 30-year-old man. So it gets worse. So people are short-lived, always quarrelsome. Kali Yuga, the very degraded age, people are so quarrelsome. And therefore Prabhupada said that the profession of the neophytes is to bicker. Do you understand this word bicker? Bicker means to fight, to argue over little things. Little things that we'll argue over. Prabhupada said this is the profession of the neophytes, to fight over little things. Yeah. We should be tolerant. Yeah. And therefore, a very important verse in the Shikshashtakam, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahisana, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadhari. See, if we think that we're insignificant, and that we're low, that we're very low, then how can we be offended? Right? But if we think we're something, if we really think we're, you know, something big, you know, something hot, you know, I'm really something, then it's very easy to be offended. Right? So therefore this verse is there, and Krishnadas Kaviraj said that this verse should be worn around one's neck, strung by the holy name, thinking oneself lower than the strong tree, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others without desiring respect for oneself. So this is the mood that we should have. So there's people that claim to be God, and there's people that teach others that you're God. And then on the other side, there's people, they say, there is no God. Atheist. I recently was speaking to one man who was an atheist. So I told him, actually, if you're intelligent, you're not an atheist. Because there's billions of things that you don't know. Right? He said, yeah. Well, one of those billions of things you don't know is whether there's a God or not. He said, all right, good point. I'll accept that. I said, if you're a little more intelligent than being an atheist, you'll be an agnostic. You just accept, you know, you just plead ignorance. You don't know. But that's a safer position to be in. Right? You don't, just be honest. You don't know. 90% of the people on this planet believe in God. So you think they're all wrong and you're right? So this is a good argument for the atheists. I was going door to door once in Australia, and I knocked on a door, and one gentleman, he answered the door, and he saw the Bhagavad Gita and said, no, I'm not interested. I worship Satan. And I said, oh, okay, you worship Satan. Well, this book is about God, so you should know your enemy. And he said, all right, good point. I'll take one. And he gave a real nice donation. I was surprised. So there's a lot of cheaters, and there's a lot of people that are cheating. There's a lot of illusion out there. A lot of people making mistakes. So therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that this material world is no place for a gentleman. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, this material world, it's a weird abode. It's a weird place. Yeah. So this knowledge that is being given to us is meant to help us become sane, to help us understand what is reality. Yeah. So again, we're very fortunate. But devotees aren't interested in just their own fortune. They also want others to be fortunate. So therefore we have this distribution of transcendental literature to help people understand that they're spirit soul, they're not this body. And this one illusion causes so much anxiety. Yeah. Like I mentioned earlier, that it's a place of quarrel, so much quarrel. You know, because people think that they're their body, and they're so much into their false ego, and just misunderstanding of reality. So we have to let them know, you're not the body, you're the soul. And that clears up so much cobwebs in the mind. This clears up so much. And Prabhupada was speaking about this one time, about how people are so much into the bodily conception of life, and therefore the false ego is very big, and therefore they argue over little things and big things. And he gave an example of two brothers in India. They were having some disagreement, and the disagreement got a little heated. It got a little more heated, and they started fighting with one another. And one of them ended up killing the other. This is Kali Yuga. So then this one that killed the other was in court, and the judge said that he should be given the death penalty. So as soon as the father heard that, he was in the courtroom, he went to the judge and said, "Judge, please, I only had two boys. One of them is dead. And now you're going to kill the other one. Please, let him live." And then the judge understood the awkward situation of the father, so he said, all right, he can live, but in prison. Imagine the unfortunate situation of the father. He had two sons who he loved. Now one's dead and the other one's in prison the rest of his life. So this is the material world. So to be tolerant is very good. And this is a nice aspect of book distribution, that you have to learn to be tolerant. It's a decoration. It's one of the decorations of a devotee, is to be tolerant. It's a very good decoration. Because if you're tolerant, then you can become compassionate. If you're not tolerant, it's not possible to be compassionate. And this is another wonderful decoration of a devotee, is compassion. Tatikshava karunika surda. He's a friend to all living entities. Yeah. And therefore, when we go on book distribution, we should approach people, yeah, like our old friend. There's actually a statement, I think it's Kapila Dev in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, if devotees approach people with these four qualities, then Krishna is very quickly pleased. And that is, first one, tolerance. Compassion, friendly to all living entities, and to see everyone equally. To see everyone as a spirit soul. Nice mentality. So if we approach others with this mentality, Krishna is very, very pleased. And this is why we're doing all that we're doing, right? We want to please Krishna. So, here in the purport, Prabhupada, he mentions that devotees, they're not interested in wealth and getting gold. We just want to serve Krishna. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says also, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarin, kavitang va jagadisha kame. Mama janmani janme isre, bhavatad bhakti haiti kritvai. We don't want wealth. Na dhanam. That's the first one. Na dhanam. Practically everybody wants wealth. Everybody wants to be a millionaire. Isn't it? Because they're thinking, if I'm a millionaire, I'll just do whatever I want. I don't have to work. But no. Still there's anxiety. Yeah. There's fear. Someone's going to take my money. Radhanath Swami, he was speaking, and he said that we'll find out how wealthy we are when we find out how many very valuable things we have that money can't buy. And the most important thing that everybody wants that money can't buy is love. Yes. This is the most important. Everybody wants love. They want to be loved and they want to love. But money can't buy it. Actually, money, if people get a lot of money, it actually becomes a disturbance to the real wealth. Therefore, there's one very thoughtful man who was a millionaire. He said, I'm so poor that all I have is money. He didn't have these good qualities. So this is what we want. We want to increase these good qualities. And this way we actually generate wealth. Yeah. This devotion is so important. And this is something that we should all pray for, this devotion. There's a nice pastime, I'll end with this, there's a nice pastime of Krishna and the gopis involved with gold. One time Krishna, this is during the Kartik time. It's like now in India, Kartik time, it's a big thing in India. It's like there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people. It's just, back then also, when Krishna was there, Kartik time was a big thing. You know, so many people doing so many things, so much service is being done. So Krishna saw the gopis, they were making pearl necklaces. So Krishna saw that and he said, oh, gopis, please, can you give me some pearls? I want to make some pearl necklaces for my cows. And the gopis said, we're not going to give you pearls to make pearl necklaces for your cows. Go away, boys. Go away. Don't bother us. We're busy here. Don't bother. Krishna said, oh, please, gopis, give us some. Give us some pearls. You know, the cows are very important. We want to make some pearl necklaces for the cows. No, don't bother us. We're not going to give you. And Krishna said, oh, yeah, all right, then I'm going to grow my own pearls. Krishna, you can't grow pearls. Pearls come from the ocean. No, I can grow pearls. You watch. Okay, we'll watch. And then Krishna went to his mother and said, Mata, please, can you give me some pearls? I'm going to grow some pearls to make some pearl necklaces for the cows. Krishna, you silly boy. You can't grow pearls. Pearls come from oysters in the ocean. No, Mata, I can do it. Please, give me some pearls. I can do it. Krishna is very convincing, you know. So he convinced her, all right, here's some pearls. You go grow some pearls, okay. So Krishna, he grew up in an agriculturist family, his father's, Nanda Maharaj, he saw how they were doing. So he lined up the pearls very nicely, and he was watering them with milk. He was milking them. So then after a few days, they started to sprout. And he called over his mother, Mata, Mata, see, you see? They're sprouting. We're going to have pearl bushes. Pearls are going to grow. And Mother Yasoda said, yeah, okay. Okay, sure. So they called over the gopis and see, you see? Pearl bushes. We're going to have pearl necklaces. You watch. So then they're like a similar mentality. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. Pearl bushes. Okay. And then about 5 days later, the pearl bushes blossomed with so many pearls and different colors, you know, purple and pink and yellow and green. And they were even fragrant. They were very, very fragrant. Anybody ever heard of pearls being fragrant? Well, these are Krishna's pearls. Special pearls. So Krishna made a lot of, you know, a lot of pearl necklaces, you know, for the cows. How many cows did Krishna have? Anybody remember? How many cows? 900,000. That's a lot of pearl necklaces. I don't know if he made them for all of them, but he made a lot of pearl necklaces. And then he went over to the gopis with his cows and his pearl necklaces. And he said, you see, I told you, I grew pearls. And now my cows, and he said, I have my monkey friends, they have pearl necklaces. You see, I told you, you were doubting me, you see. And the gopis said, well, we're gonna make more pearls than you. We're gonna grow our own pearls. Because they also didn't have very many. So they went to their mother. Mata, can you give us some more pearls? We're gonna grow more pearls so we can make more pearl necklaces for all the gopis. And the mother said, you can't grow pearls. No, we can do it. Krishna did it. You wouldn't believe it. So many pearl necklaces. We can do it. Please give us some pearls. Okay, you take. So they also lined up their pearls to grow pearl bushes. They heard that Krishna was using milk to grow the pearls. But they thought, we're going to use milk, yogurt, and ghee. We're going to get better pearls. Yeah, very smart. So they're watering or milking and ghee-ing and yogurting their pearls to make nice pearls. So after 3 days, sure enough, they started to sprout. And the gopis called over Krishna, Krishna, look, they're sprouting. Okay, let's see what happens. So then 5 days later, the bushes have grown, but they're thorn bushes, no pearls. So Krishna went to them, what happened? Oh, I don't know. You, Krishna, I don't know. We all wonder about you, Krishna. You must have been chanting some special mantras to make your pearls bushes. Please, can you give us some pearls? You have so many pearls. Can you give us some pearls? You want us to give you pearls? We asked you for pearls. You wouldn't give us any pearls? Now you want pearls from us? No, we're not going to give you any pearls. Grow your own pearls. We did it. You can do it. Grow your own pearls. Oh, please, Krishna, give us some pearls. No. Okay. Then the lady started to plan. Let's bring some gold. We'll give Krishna some gold, and then he'll give us some pearls. So they went to Krishna. Krishna, we'll give you gold for your pearls. And Krishna said, gold, gold. He said, each one of these pearls has more value than the Kastuba gem on Lord Vishnu. And you want us to give you our pearls for gold. No. Sorry. So this story was told about by Raghunath Das Goswami. And they went back and forth, the gopis and Krishna, about how they were going to get pearls. You know, they're trying to, you know, work it out, you know. And then finally Krishna, you know, he's the ocean of mercy. So he ended up giving all the gopis pearl necklaces. So it ended in a happy note. So that's the pearl pastime of Krishna. Okay, any question or comment? It's a little late, maybe if there's one question or comment. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.